It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and Let's Talk Legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, and join us this morning, Cecil Harvell, and you can call in also with our local numbers.
That would be 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
We're doing well. What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, let's talk about some account registrations and exactly what that means and kind of detangle that a bit. Ben, you start with the concept that, you know, every day we hear, you know, well, my daughter's name is on my account.
Right, right.
My son's name is added to my account so that he can pay my bills. And, of course, this is a very... it's interesting that this is so prevalent with our listeners.
Well, it seems to be so easy.
It just seems to be, you know, the thing to do. But really, when you put your child's name on your account, you also are placing ownership rights to that account, you know, with the child. The more appropriate way to have your son or daughter, you know, pay your bills and to set the stage for that part of our life where that might happen, is to have your son or daughter register the power of attorney with the bank.
Right, right.
And have them have access to your account through the durable power of attorney, which, of course, is a document that gives our agent, gives our loved one the authority to be able to really handle any of our accounts. Or any of our assets, really, real property as well, our land titles. That is the cleanest way to allow our children to pay our bills is through the use of this durable power of attorney. And banks, of course, are very, you know, aware of this document. They know how to structure it on the account. It's just easier sometimes to say, well, let's just add my son or daughter to the account. Now, let's talk about that a little bit more. Again, Ben, when you add your child to your account, you're adding, ownership rights with the child. And this means, of course, that, you know, what if something happens to the child?
Right.
What if the child has a divorce or has, you know, a creditor issue or a bankruptcy issue or any of the kinds of twists and turns of life? Then, of course, you know, your account at the bank is going to be subject or could be subject to, you know, those twists and turns and those legal issues.
Yeah, not to mention what if the child just empties the account.
Well, that too, that as well.
Yeah.
Now, this just kind of grows in terms of concern from here, Ben. There are so many different kinds of assets that our listeners have that pass by beneficiary designation. Be it, you know, let me mention a few: an annuity, life insurance, an IRA, any retirement account, really, 401k, any kind of account that is registered with a payable on death or time on death beneficiary. These assets are going to pass according to these designations. These are contractual arrangements, Ben, legal and completely enforceable contractual arrangements that you make with the holder of your asset while you're living. And you are directing that as to my IRA, if I die, I want that to be distributed to the following person or persons. And the same with our life insurance or our annuity. Or, again, these accounts where we just simply make them payable on death to our beneficiary. Again, Ben, this is such a critical part of planning, of good planning, to really look carefully at how you have your beneficiaries designated. And sometimes we have situations like where folks or maybe even some listeners right now are saying, well, I don't think I have a beneficiary on my IRA. I better go check that life insurance. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was my ex-spouse. Maybe it was my wife who, you know, is no longer living. Okay, I'm a widower. Maybe it's my children, but I've had, you know, now I have, you know, all sorts of grandchildren, and I've lost a child. I mean, again, these things really do need to be checked. And the life insurance beneficiaries, the IRA beneficiaries, and the annuity beneficiaries all need to be looked at and reviewed. And we hope that we will bring them in conformity with the testamentary plan or the intent of where our assets go when we are no longer living.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is all outside the operation of the will, right?
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. Just yesterday, I met with a wonderful lady, and she is leaving assets leaving certain assets to her family.
Mm-hmm.
She has no children, and leaving the remainder of her assets to a designated charity.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, has got a considerable IRA, and she was concerned about the beneficiary on that because, again, what she's wanting to happen is to have those assets be part of the assets that pass to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
right.
of course, will also receive a favorable tax result. See, IRAs have tax consequences, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's money that's been put away, you know, without income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when we take it out, there is, you know, the recapture of the income tax. There's a penalty on taking it out of the IRA if we are less than 55 and a half years old. After that time, the penalty is waived, but the taxes never get waived.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
exactly.
They do, however, though, get waived if it passes to a charity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because of the charitable deduction, and also there are rules that allow the IRA, if designated to a surviving spouse, they're able to step into the IRA and defer the recapture of the income according to their life expectancy. And of course, there also are very specific rules about it passing to children and what they are or in other individuals other than the spouse and how they are able to potentially get some favorable tax result. But again, the beneficiaries need to be looked at and hopefully are consistent with the estate planning.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back in just a moment. And if you have questions as well about your estate planning and about also your designation of accounts or any other civil matter, you can give us a call right now, and Mandy will take that call.
You can call me at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
More with Cecil Harbell from Harbell & Collins coming up right after this. Hey, welcome back here with Cecil Harbell from Harbell & Collins. You can go online at harbellandcollins.com and find out lots of information and see their email addresses, et cetera. And we have a caller standing by. And, Mandy, who do we have standing by here this morning? Do we have a caller?
We have Peggy in Atlanta Beach.
Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Peggy Dickerson.
Hello there, Peggy.
What I was calling about, if you inherit some land...
Mm-hmm.
That is practically worth nothing, but over the periods of the years, it has become very important and very valuable. If I just will that to my children in my will, will they have to pay capital gain on that, or do I have to put it in a some kind of
like
special...
A trust.
Right.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Peggy, that's an excellent question. And basically, what you're what you're asking is about the rules on a step-up in tax basis on assets that we own. And the answer to the question is absolutely make sure that this property, this real property, you're saying land, pass according to your will. Do not go ahead and deed it to your children while you are living. That is known as a during life transfer, or a fancy word is inter vivos transfer, and that is going to transfer your low tax basis in this property to your children. If, on the other hand, you let it pass according to your estate and according to your will to your children, then the property on the date of your death would be appraised. And whatever the value happens to be at that time is now the tax basis for the children. This is known as the step up in tax basis.
In other words, they won't pay the capital gain.
They will not then pay capital gain because the value of the property at Peggy's death is their basis then.
Right.
And if, you know, so now the property has been stepped up. That's the basis. And if they sell it, then they're going to more than likely sell it again for that fair market value.
Right.
Or even if they hold on to it, there will not be but so much appreciation.
It won't be from the original.
It won't be from the original.
Okay. That's what I always thought, but somebody told me last week that was not true. And I just wanted to make sure. Thanks a million.
Oh, well, thank you, Peggy. Uh-huh. Yeah, and, you know, that's a great question because so many times people do, they figure they're going to go ahead and deed something over.
Yeah, that's a real mistake, and or can be. And we have talked about those kinds of deeds a lot here on Let's Talk Legal, and we probably should talk about it some more at some point, Ben, because a lot of folks do deed property while they're living to their children for various reasons. And it is something that one should not do without first seeking some good legal advice on that. There are certain occasions where it will work, but let's seek some legal advice on it.
Yeah. In her case, she sounds like she's laid out the proper scenario for allowing it to go through the will.
It certainly sounds that way.
Okay.
Now, Ben, back to the accounts that are payable on death. And transfer on death, which have now become so very popular with our financial institutions. What we lawyers are seeing, and there's a lot of writing on this and constant kinds of articles on these kinds of accounts. Ben, let me tell you a scenario. I mean, when we die, even though our affairs may be very much in order in terms of our bills are paid, our home is paid for. This is many times the case with the elderly, that things are in order, bills are paid, their home is paid for, and they then, of course, are wanting to avoid the probate is usually the excuse, and so therefore they name their accounts payable on death. Well, it is that the asset does, in fact, at that time pass payable on death to the children. And there are then not assets in the estate, if you will, Ben, to maintain the real property until such time as it can be sold.
Right.
There are costs with maintaining, you know, real property. I mean, we have several files in our office right now, and one that's very notable that has minimum assets in the estate because several hundred thousand dollars, I might add, was payable on death to the three children. And we do not have the money in the estate to put a sump pump under this house, which is listed with a realtor and has been now for the better part of a year. We've had contracts on the home, but the contracts have fallen through because of issues with the home, and yet we do not have the money in the estate to make these necessary repairs.
Yeah.
Now, our listeners are saying to me, well, gosh, Cecil, why aren't the children, they're also the beneficiary of the proceeds of the home, giving some of the money back to the estate? Well, Ben, you know,
that's easier said than done.
Okay. I mean, they are not doing that, by the way, okay, and have left the executor in a position where potentially this executor is going to have to be personally involved in some way in financing this estate to be able to get this property sold,
right,
and then be, of course, reimbursed. It is a real dilemma. That's just one of the dilemmas. There could be we have another file where there is, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 worth of back taxes to pay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And there are not sufficient funds in the estate to pay those taxes because, again, the assets went, you know, by beneficiary time on death out to the children. You know, the children many times live in different parts of the country. They could be estranged with each other. Once they get the monies, they can go ahead and it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult to get the money back, and it leaves the estate in a very vulnerable position.
Speaking of which, you mentioned about back taxes. I would imagine if somebody may have been sick for a long time and a house passes to the children, but they may have homeowner's fees that they're backed way up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And no money in the estate.
Absolutely. Homeowners Association, taxes, insurance, basic kinds of utilities so that the house is, we certainly can disconnect the cable and the telephone, things of that nature, but you cannot allow a house to not go heated in the frozen months of the year or to some degree air conditioned during the hot months of the year because it's not good for the property.
Yeah, but those are the cases when there's no assets in the estate.
Left. Correct.
All right, we'll have more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. Every Tuesday morning, folks from Harvell and Collins bring you Let's Talk Legal, helping to demystify the law. And you can call in right now, and Mandy will take your call.
800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
The law is increasingly complex, and the growing staff of Harvell and Collins stands ready to untangle your legal challenges. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, along with associates Russell Alexander and Andrew Foster, practicing in all areas of civil practice, including estate planning, elder law and asset protection, estate-related matters, collections and foreclosures, and also civil trial practice in these and all other civil matters. Call to arrange your free initial consultation, 252-726-9050. Plus, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins answer your questions live each Tuesday morning at 7:30 on Let's Talk Legal. Tune in to Coastal Daybreak Tuesday mornings at 7:30 and call in with your legal questions.
My question is, when the covenants are broken by multiple homeowners and there's not really fines or anything that can be placed because that wasn't put in the covenants, what can I do as a homeowner to get some of these problems rectified?
If it's your question, it's important to Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins.
Ben, I think it would be helpful to say to our listeners hear and read all the time about the cost, delay, and burden of probate. And that, of course, is why we have a caller.
Yeah, we have a caller, so we'll get back to that, too. But let's find out who this is.
We have Johnny in Jacksonville.
Hey, Johnny, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
I have a property that was not taken care of during a divorce, but now I'm trying to take care of it as far as either selling it and dividing the profit from that. Now, is that something that a special lawyer take care of that?
Well, first of all, the lawyer would need to be aware of the terms of the divorce, if any. In other words, the separation agreement, the property settlement agreement, and how the proceeds of the sale of the property would be divided. Is that what you're somewhat mentioning?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, There usually is a property settlement agreement when folks get divorced and they own real property. If there isn't a property settlement agreement in writing, then it's possible that since the folks are divorced, it's simply owning a tenants in common 50-50, and that would need to be confirmed and agreed to between the respective, you know, once spouses, now ex-spouses.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the closing handled and the proceeds divided accordingly.
But, Johnny, are you also asking about how do you recover the cost of taking care of that property while it's getting ready to be sold?
Yes.
Well, any interest holder in property, real property, Ben, who has, you know, quote, taken care of the property,
mm-hmm.
paid the taxes, maintain the property, that they are entitled to reimbursement for those kinds of things. Now, it's important that be very well documented,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we sometimes get into disagreements about the smaller things, like who mowed the grass
yeah,
and how much
$50
that
cost. You paid for mowing the grass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the law of equity, you know, contribution law would require mm-hmm. that the person who has invested in this property is going to be, you know, reimbursed off the top for the expenses that were incurred by them.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Again, you've been starting to mention about probate. We probably won't finish that up.
Just real quickly, Ben. Probate in North Carolina, we are a probate-friendly state.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have the delay that we have in New York's and New Jersey's and Florida's and California's and Texas and Michigan and mm-hmm. Illinois. We do not have a sliding scale of the level of probate tax and probate cost and
mm-hmm.
attorney fees that are fixed by statute, which in those states can be quite high.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read something on the internet or hear something or read something in our good magazines that come out, AARP,
mm-hmm.
keep in mind that they might be coming from a perspective in one of these states that has this burdensome probate law. North Carolina does not have that. And we are able to move estates here very, very quickly and many, many times with minimal kinds of cost.
Okay. Again, that makes it a lot easier for a lot of estates to be able to do that. The probate estates are much more easily handled here in North Carolina than they are elsewhere. If you want to find out more about those actions, you can call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law at harvellandcollins.com. You'll find the website. You can also call them at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. And Let's Talk Legal, brought to you by Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, every Tuesday morning right here on the Talk Station. Always the right advice at the right time. And you can also remember to tune in on Thursdays, too, when Harvell & Collins brings you our Life and Taxes, too, with Andrew Foster. And he's available, too, by email at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. We'll have more to come in just a moment on Coastal Daybreak.